nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. You see, Solomon is preaching the gospel. Why do calamities come upon us? So that men may fear Him. And when men fear Him, He accepts them. He receives them. He blots out their sins. And He sets them on a new life, on a new course, on a new path. So what about, what about God's blessings and curses in history? Does God lay the wicked low? Does He exalt the righteous? Does God do this in history and in time? Well, of course He does. A few days ago, a wicked tyrant was put to death, justly and rightly, as he should have been. And it was by the hand of man, the judgment of God upon him. And so undoubtedly, in the course of history, in time, God does lay the wicked low. Deuteronomy 32:35 says, "Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them." And likewise, the Bible promises that God does give over time blessings to His people. He gives them prosperity. He gives them the wealth. He takes the wealth of the wicked, He says, and gives it to the righteous. That happens over time. But it may not happen now. It may not happen to you. It might not happen in your lifetime. And that is not the basis for your faith. That's really the point. The basis for your faith is God Himself. It is not the evidence of what goes on around you in this world. It is the Lord and His promises. Hardship and sorrow for the people of God are not curses. They are not curses. Calamities and illness that God's people have to deal with are not punishment. They are so we will fear the Lord. In John chapter 7 that we heard this morning in our New Testament reading, we heard Jesus give an explanation as to why the man born blind was born blind. And Jesus said it was not because of his sin, it was not because his parents sinned. But do you remember the reason? So that the works of God should be revealed in him. So that men would look at this man blind until adulthood and they would see what God can do. And that is why calamities and sorrows come upon the people of God, so that He shows them and this world what God can do. He reveals Himself and His power through them. God has accepted you. God holds you in His hand, and He cares for you. Your life might be a vapor. It is a vapor. You can't control it, but He does control it, and He does direct you. And your life is meaningful and has great purpose in His eyes. So the conclusion of this matter is not despair. It's not sorrow. It's not sadness. It's not cynicism. It's joy. Based upon all of this that Solomon has told us, he tells you, believer, to be joyful. And he says, be joyful in three things. And the first thing is, be joyful in feasting. Be joyful in feasting. He says in verse 7, "Go and eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and your head lack no oil." He says, eat and drink. God has given you the ability to have a feast. And so do it. Do it. Enjoy the good gifts that God has blessed you with. And the white garment is a sign of a festival time. It's a sign of rejoicing. And he says, put on your white garment. Put the oil on your head. And go your way. And enjoy what God has given you. And of course, there is greater significance to these words in the Lord's Supper. Because we gather together every Sunday as people who are in the hand of God to eat the bread and drink the wine with rejoicing. With happiness, with joy, because we don't control our lives, but He does. And He is a good God. And in Revelation 3:5, it says, "To him who overcomes, he shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and all his angels. You have a white robe on reserve for you in heaven. It's got your name in the back on the lapel. It's there for you. It's waiting for you because God has accepted you. That's why you should eat and drink. That's why when you sit down at your family table, you give thanks for the food. That's why every meal is important and special and should be in your home. Because God has accepted you. Because God loves you. Because He's controlling your life and using it for His glory. And that's the reason you should rejoice. And He says also rejoice in the wife of your youth. He says this in verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which He has given you under the sun, all the days of vanity, for that is your portion in life. If you have a wife, he says, love her. Rejoice in her. If you have a husband, rejoice in your husband. And why is he telling us to do this? Don't we already know this? Well, we have to be reminded again and again. And he tells us because your life is vanity, vapor, remember, it's smoke. You can't control it, and before you know it, it's going to be gone. And you know that Jesus said there's no marrying or being given in marriage in heaven. Marriage is temporary. It's for this life. It's for this earth. That doesn't mean that marriage is meaningless. It doesn't mean it has no purpose. It has great purpose. And so God says, this is my gift to you. It's not going to be something you're going to have forever. In your resurrection body, you won't have a wife. You won't have a husband. There'll be no more children being born. So enjoy it now. Enjoy it on this earth. Yeah, your life is a vapor. It's going to be gone. You have had so many anniversaries, you're just going to have a few more. Don't waste those years. Don't waste that time. Don't squabble and be petty about stupid things. Love her. Love him. And that goes for, I think, all family relationships. Take joy in your children. Take joy in your parents, your aunts and uncles and cousins. Those are temporary, earthbound relationships that God has given to us for a few years. So enjoy them now. And he says in verse 10, take joy in what you do. Take joy in your work, in your labors. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Again, what is he saying here? Work upon this earth, at least the kind of work that we know, is temporary. It's for this earth. The kinds of work that you're doing, patching up the holes in the socks or vacuuming the floor, or fixing the plumbing. Those kinds of things you won't be doing in heaven. You'll be doing other things. But those are particular things that you're doing here on this earth. And you can resent those things. You can go through your life grumbling about them. Or you can do what God says to do in gratitude and thanksgiving and saying, I don't have that many more opportunities to fix the sink. I don't have that many more opportunities to go the third time to the hardware store to buy the thing I need. The time is short. So rejoice in those things. Laugh at them. Give thanks to God for them. Just because they're temporary, just because they will end at death, doesn't mean they're bad or there's anything wrong with them. The man who sits down and enjoys the appetizers is the guy who's really going to enjoy the main course when it comes. He's the one who's really preparing himself for the better thing that's coming. And so are our lives. As we enjoy our wives, as we enjoy our husbands, as we take joy in our work, as we eat the bread and drink the wine God has given, that is the best preparation for heaven itself. Why? Because gratitude is welling up in your hearts and you're simply expressing it by taking the things that God has given and enjoying them. They will soon be gone. We need to look at our lives the way that Solomon looked at life. And thanks be to God, it wasn't too late for him. Even though he had made a mess of things, he recognized while a man is still alive, there's hope. There's hope for repentance. There's hope for change. There's hope for growing in holiness and putting away our idols. And that was a hope that God had given him. And he's given it to us as well. But you see, the fool rejects this. The fool says, no, it's too late. Or the fool says, I've made a mess of my life. Or the fool says, it really doesn't matter. Or the fool goes through his life discontent with what he sees. Martin Luther said that this is one of the great temptations of every Christian. He said, if God would have given me the eloquence of Cicero and the power of Caesar or the wisdom of Solomon, I would still not be satisfied. We are always looking for something that is lacking, and we despise what is present. When a man does not have a wife, he looks for one. When he has a wife, he becomes bored with her. We are all just like quicksilver, which never remains still. And such is the human heart, which enjoys neither present nor future goods. It does not acknowledge or give thanks for what it has, and it vainly pursues the things that it does not have. Let us not fall into that trap. Let us not so be ungrateful that we would waste our lives in that kind of dissatisfaction and that kind of ingratitude. The message of Solomon is not pessimistic, but it does collide with the philosophy of our world. That if you're not in control, that you can't enjoy life. The Christian confession is just the opposite. You're not in control, so enjoy life. Enjoy what God has given to you. Enjoy what He has done for you, that you are accepted in His sight. Remember that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is true faith. That is what God calls us to, and He tells us that everything else is just smoke. It's just smoke from a lighted match. He is the only substantial thing. You have been accepted by God, and so use your life to rejoice in God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, You are the one who is our Creator. And You guide our lives through each moment of each day. And Father, we confess that our hours and our days and our years belong to You, and they are in Your hand. We pray that we would use them for Your glory. We pray that we would live them wisely. And that You would receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.